Zenith Productions presents The Life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Medina Period, Volume 2, by Imam Anwar al-Awlaki.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're moving on to the events of the 10th year of Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to give da'wah to the people of Yemen. And in Bukhari it says, وَبَعَثَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَلَى مِخْلَافٍ. And he sent each one of them on a province. So everyone was an emir over a province, and Yemen was two provinces at the time. قَالَ وَالْيَمَنْ مِخْلَافَانٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا وَبَشِّرَا وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَتَطَاوَعَ وَلَا تَخْتَلِفَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, be lenient, not harsh, encourage rather than repress. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, cooperate and do not conflict. In da'wah, leniency is needed and not harshness. There's a difference between da'wah and jihad. We find that the ayat and the ahadith that talk about harshness with the kuffar are in the context of fighting fi sabilillah. And here you have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling them to be lenient and not to be harsh, and to encourage people and not to repress, because these are either people who are new Muslim or they are people who are receptive to listening to the message of Islam. وَانْطَلَقَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَىٰ عَمَلَهِ. And each one of them went to his province. قَالَ وَكَانَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِذَا سَارَ فِي أَرْضِهِ وَكَانَ قَرِيبًا مِّنْ صَاحِبِهِ أَحْدَثَ بِهِ عَهْدًا فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ. They agreed that whenever one of them would be close to the other, they should meet and renew the salam on each other. Because both of them were traveling. They were going from one village to another, from one town to another. So whenever their paths run close to each other, they decided that they should meet and come together and discuss their affairs and give nasiha to each other, as we will see in this conversation. فَسَارَ مُعَاذْ فِي أَرْضِهِ قَرِيبًا مِّنْ صَاحِبِي أَبُو مُوسَى. أبي موسى. Mu'adh was close to the province of Abu Musa. فَجَاءَ يَسِيرُ عَلَىٰ بَغْلَتِهِ حَتَّى انْتَهَىٰ إِلَيْهِ. So he came on his mount, on his mule, until he reached to Abu Musa. فَإِذَا هُوَ جَالِسٌ وَقَدْ اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِ. So he saw him sitting and people were gathered around him. وَإِذَا رَجُلٌ عِنْدَهُ قَدْ جُمِعَتْ يَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ عُنُقِهِ. And there was a man over there whose hands were tied to his neck. فَقَالَ لَهُ مُعَاذ يا عبد الله بن قيس أيما هذا قال هذا رجل كفر بعد إسلامه. So Mu'adh said, oh Abdullah ibn Qais, this is the name of Abu Musa, who is this? He said, this is a man who committed apostasy after being a Muslim. In another narration it says that this man was a Yahudi. So he was a Jew who became Muslim and then went back to becoming a Jew again. Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, La anzilu hatta yuqtal. I am not coming down from my mount until he is executed. قَالَ إِنَّمَا جِئَ بِهِ لِذَلِكَ فَانْزِلْ. He said, that's why we brought him, so come down. قَالَ مَا أَنْزِلْ حَتَّى يُقْتَلْ. I am not coming down until he is executed. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ فَقُتِلْ. And he was executed. Then Mu'adh ibn Jabal came down and he said, يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ تَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. O Abdullah, how do you recite Qur'an? قَالَ أَتَفَوَّقُهُ تَفَوُّقًا. The meaning of what Abu Musa said is that I read it continuously, piece after piece. And this is from تَفَوُّق, the milking of a camel. It would be milked and then left for a short while to rest and then milked again. And then left for some time to rest and then milked again. So the milking process happens in intervals that are all throughout the day. And that is how Abu Musa used to recite Qur'an. Meaning he would read, take a break, read, take a break. Which means that he was reciting Qur'an continuously day and night. And then he asked Mu'adh, فَكَيْفَ تَقْرَأُ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ. How do you recite, O Mu'adh? Mu'adh said, أَنَامُ أَوَّلَ اللَّيْلِ فَأَقُومُ وَقَدْ قَضَيْتُ جُزْءِ مِنَ النَّوْمِ فَأَقْرَأُ مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لِي فَأَحْتَسِبُ نومتي كما احتسب قومتي. He said, I sleep the first part of the night, so I wake up while I have taken
my need of sleep, and then I would recite whatever Allah destines for me to recite. So I would count my sleep to be an act that is that I will be rewarded for, just like I am rewarded for praying. Mu'adh here is telling Abu Musa that even though you exhaust yourself in the recitation of Qur'an, I take my need of rest and I count that rest as a ibadah. Because the reason I'm doing it is to be able to pray after that. So this shows you that even your habits, your daily habits of sleeping, drinking, eating, washing, could be counted as something that you have ajr, a reward for, as long as you're doing them for the sake of Allah in order to give you ability to worship Him and to make you active when you are performing your rituals.
In another narration in Bukhari, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ بن جبل حين بعثه إلى اليمن إنك ستأتي قوما أهل كتاب فإذا جئتهم فادعهم إلى أن يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. Ibn Abbas says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he told him, you are coming to a people who are a people of a book. Because the people of Yemen, in Najran they were Christian, and many of the rest were Jews. They were Arabs in ancestry, but they adopted the religion of Judaism. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you're coming to a people who are a people of a scripture. So call them to testify that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. If they accept that, then tell them that Allah has obligated on them 5 prayers every night and day. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. If they accept that, then tell them that Allah has obligated on them to pay zakah, charity, that is taken from the rich among them and given to the poor among them. And this is evidence for the ones who say that the zakah should be collected from a locality and spent in the same locality. The evidence they use is this hadith. Now, the scholars say that that is better. However, if the need is greater in another area, then you can send the zakah to that other area or your sadaqah. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. If they accept that, then beware of the best parts of their property. Meaning when you go to choose, for example, the animals that you will take for zakah, from the sheep or from the cattle, do not choose the best. Choose the average, not the worst nor the best. وَاتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. And beware from the prayers of the oppressed, because nothing stands between his prayers and Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling Mu'adh to be careful. Do not oppress anyone. Because if you do oppress anyone, and that person makes a dua against you, that dua will reach Allah azza wa jal, and nothing will stand between it and Allah. So we need to be careful not to oppress anyone, because oppression is a great sin on the Day of Judgment. You can also see from this hadith the step-by-step da'wah, that people should be taken step-by-step. Shahada first, then salah, then zakah. In a narration by Imam Ahmad, عن معاذ أنه كان يقول بعثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن فقال لعلك أن تمر بقبري ومسجدي وقد بعثتك إلى قوم رقيقة قلوبهم يقاتلون على الحق مرتين فقاتل بمن أطاعك منهم من عصاك ثم يعودون إلى الإسلام حتى تبادر المرأة زوجها والولد والده والأخ أخاه فانزل بين الحيين السكون والسكاسك. معاذ بن جبل said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent me to Yemen and told me, you may pass by my grave and my mosque. This is an indication that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would be meeting Mu'adh for the last time. And I am sending you to a people who have soft hearts, and they will fight for the truth twice. So fight with those who follow you, the ones who disobey you. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling Mu'adh ibn Jabal, make da'wah, when people accept Islam, recruit them immediately and
use them to fight against those who disbelieve. Rasulullah ﷺ did not tell Mu'adh ibn Jabal to send them to an Islamic university or to take them to a special tarbiyah sessions. Not to say that knowledge is not important or tarbiyah is not important, but it shows you that if a person accepts Islam, then the obligation of fighting for the religion is there, and this is what Rasulullah ﷺ is telling Mu'adh ibn Jabal to do, to recruit them when they become Muslim to fight the ones who did not become Muslim. And then Rasulullah ﷺ told him that when you fight with them against the ones who disobey, Islam would spread. Rasulullah ﷺ told him that Islam would spread, and you would find that a woman would leave her husband, and the child would leave the parents, and the brother would leave his brother for the sake of Islam. In another narration by Imam Ahmad, عن معاذ بن جبل قال لما بعثه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن خرج معه يصيه ومعاذ الراكب ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمشي تحت راحلته. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was sending معاذ بن جبل, he was giving him nasiha, advice, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was walking while معاذ was riding. And this is the humbleness and the simplicity of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the head of state, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the greatest of mankind. He's walking while Mu'adh ibn Jabal is riding on his mount. فَلَمَّا فَرَغَ قَالْ يَا مُعَاذْ إِنَّكَ عَسَىٰ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا. Oh Mu'adh, you may not see me anymore after this year. وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِمَسْجِدِي هَذَا وَقَبْرِي. And you may pass next to my mosque and my grave. فَبَكَى مُعَاذْ. Mu'adh cried. ثم التفت بوجهه نحو المدينة وقال إن أولى الناس بي المتقون من كانوا وحيث كانوا. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم looked at Medina and said, the people who are closest to me are the people of taqwa, wherever they are and whoever they are. And this is a great bushra, rejoicing news from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah is saying that the closest people to him are the people who have taqwa, wherever they are, in any land they are, and whoever they are. It doesn't matter what race or background they come from, as long as they are people of taqwa. Another word of advice that Rasulullah ﷺ gave Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and this is also in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, Rasulullah ﷺ told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Beware of luxury, because the servants of Allah are not luxurious. Mu'adh ibn Jabal is sent to be what? A governor. So it is a job that affords him luxury if he wants to. So Rasulullah ﷺ is warning him and telling him, beware of luxury. So that is the advice Rasulullah ﷺ was giving to a man who afforded luxury. How is it then to the ones who are not in positions of luxury, nevertheless they force themselves to live a life of luxury? Yeah, and luxury is a very, very dangerous thing. And Rasulullah ﷺ is telling Mu'adh that the servants of Allah, the true servants of Allah, are not luxurious. In another narration by Abdul Razzaq Sanani, كان معاذ بن جبل شابا جميلا سمحا من خير شباب قومه لا يسأل شيئا إلا أعطاه حتى كان عليه دين أغلق ماله فكلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أن يكلم غرماءه ففعل فلم يضع له شيئا فلو ترك لأحد بكلام أحد لترك لمعاذ بكلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a handsome and generous young man, one of the finest of his people. Mu'adh, by the way, was young and was a very active student of knowledge and very close to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave him special attention because Rasulullah used to love him and used to see in him signs of a scholar. So in this hadith it says that Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a handsome and generous young man, one of the finest of his people. Anything ever asked of him, he would give, so that eventually he had a debt that foreclosed all of his money. He told this to Rasulullah ﷺ and asked him to speak to his creditors, and this Rasulullah ﷺ did. However, the creditors did not excuse Mu'adh of anything, even though Rasulullah ﷺ interceded on his behalf. So then his wealth was all split up, iflas, bankrupt. He became bankrupt, so all of his wealth was split up among the creditors. فقام معاذ ولا مال له. By the time Mu'adh left, he had nothing. قال فلما حج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معاذا إلى اليمن. قال فكان أول من تجر في هذا المال معاذ. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made Hajj, he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, and he allowed him to invest the
money that was under his authority, the money of the treasury, he was allowed to invest it, and he was the first one to do so.
قال فقدم على أبي بكر الصديق من اليمن وقد توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجاء عمر فقال هل لك أن تطيعني فتدفع هذا المال إلى أبي بكر فإن أعطاكه فاقبله قال فقال معاذ لن أدفعه إليه وإنما بعثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليجبرني.
By the time Mu'adh ibn Jabal came back, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has already passed away, and it was the time of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr. And his investment of the money was successful. And Umar told Mu'adh, give this money back to Abu Bakr. If he gives you anything of it, then fine. Otherwise, you should give it up. Mu'adh said, I'm not going to give it up, because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent me with the intention of having me gain some money again. Because of the story that we just talked about, he lost all of his money. So Umar went to Abu Bakr and told him that أرسل إلى هذا الرجل فخذ منه ودع له. Send to this man and take some of his wealth and leave him some. Abu Bakr said, ما كنت لأفعل إنما بعدها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليجبر. Abu Bakr refused and said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has sent him in order that he wants him to benefit himself or to improve himself financially after he went bankrupt. In the morning, Mu'adh ibn Jabal went to Umar and said, ما أراني إلا فاعل الذي قلت. I think that I'm going to do what you told me. إني رأيتني البارحة في النوم. I saw myself in my dream. أجر إلى النار. I was being dragged to hellfire and you were the one who was holding me back. So he went to Abu Bakr and gave him everything. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave it to him back and said, it is halal for you. So now it was given to him with the approval of the Khalifa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sent Khalid ibn Walid to Yemen, and he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib. In al-Bayhaqi it says عن البراء أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث خالد بن الوليد إلى أهل اليمن يدعوهم إلى الإسلام. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has sent خالد بن الوليد to Yemen to call them to Islam. He stayed there for 6 months and people were not very receptive to his da'wah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم called him back and sent Ali ibn Abi Talib in his place. And he told Ali to allow whoever wants to go back with Khalid to go back, and whoever wants to stay behind with Ali, it's up to them. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib, ثم تقدم بنا فصلى بنا علي. And this was in front of the tribe of Hamdan. Ali ibn Abi Talib had all of the Muslims line up, and then he prayed jama'ah, and then he had them also line up, and he stood in front of them, and he opened up the letter from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he read it to them. فأسلمت همدان جميعا. All of Hamdan, the entire tribe, became Muslim. فكتب علي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بإسلامهم. Ali wrote back to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, giving him the good news. فلما قرأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكتاب خر ساجدا ثم رفع رأسه فقال السلام على همدان السلام على همدان. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم received the letter from Ali telling him the good news, Rasulullah صلوات الله وسلامه عليه made sujood and then said, may peace be on Hamdan, may peace be on Hamdan. Ali also says, بعثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن قال فقلت يا رسول الله تبعثني إلى قوم أسن مني وأنا حدث لا أبصر القضاء. O Messenger of Allah, you are sending me to a people who are older than me, because Ali was very young and he was appointed as judge over them. And I am young in age and I don't have experience in being a judge. قال فوضع يده على صدري وقال اللهم ثبت لسانه واهدي قلبه. يا علي إذا جلس إليك الخصمان فلا تقضي بينهما حتى تسمع من الآخر ما سمعت من الأول فإنك إذا فعلت ذلك تبين لك. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم put his hand on the chest of Ali and said, O Allah, make his tongue firm and guide his heart. O Ali, when the two people who are disputing come and sit under you, do not judge between them until you hear from them both. If you do that, then it will be easy for you to judge. قال ما اختلف علي قضاء بعد. I was never confused in making a judgment after that. And Ali is very famous of being a judge, and he was a judge in the time of Umar, and he was a judge in the time of Uthman. They used to trust his judgment very much, and they would appoint him to judge over the delicate cases that would be presented to the Islamic government. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hajj in the 10th year of Hijrah, and this is called the farewell Hajj because it is the Hajj where Rasulullah ﷺ delivered to the Ummah his final words, and it was a time when all of the Muslims congregated and had a chance to hear and see from Rasulullah ﷺ for the last time. And it is also called Hajjat al-Islam, the Hajj of Islam, because it is the only Hajj Rasulullah ﷺ made from Medina. Rasulullah ﷺ did make Hajj while he was in Mecca before prophethood and after prophethood, but this was the only Hajj he did in Medina, and it is 10 years after his Hijrah. Rasulullah ﷺ made Hajj riding on his camel, and he had very humble riding equipment, the saddle that is used for the camel. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, حَجَّةٌ لَا رِيَاءَ فِيهَا وَلَا سُمْعَةٌ. A Hajj with no show. Rasulullah ﷺ made his Hajj simple. And that is how Hajj should be. Simple clothes, and a Muslim should use Hajj as a chance to get out of the accustomed ease that he has otherwise in his life. It is a time to experience a bit of hardship. And Rasulullah ﷺ made his Hajj very simple. In the time after Rasulullah ﷺ passed away and the condition of the Muslims was improving very much financially, so now people are coming to Hajj with more fancy things. So Ibn Umar was with his companions, and then a group of Hujjaj coming from Yemen passed in front of Ibn Umar. So he told the people who were with him, من أحب أن ينظر إلى أشبه رفقة وردت العام برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه إذ قدموا في حجة الوداع فلينظر إلى هذه الرفقة. In Musnad Imam Ahmad, when these men from Yemen passed in front of Ibn Umar, they had a very easy or simple riding saddles on their camels, and they were wearing very simple ihrams and clothes. So Ibn Umar said, whoever wants to see the most similar travelers this year to Rasulullah ﷺ and his companions when they made Hajj, then look at these. So if you go to Mecca today and you go to Medina today in the time of Hajj, you would see extravagance, you would see fancy Hajj, you would see the VIP Hajj, and Hajj, which is supposed to be equal for everyone, has become a place where you can clearly see the difference between the rich and poor in their accommodation and in their transportation and in other aspects also. And that is not how it was in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Arafah, Allah azza wa jalla revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that today your religion is complete and my blessings on you are completed, and it is pleasing for Allah to have your religion as Islam. A Jew came to Umar al-Khattab and said, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is when Umar was Khalifa. He told him, if this verse was revealed to us, we would have taken that day as a day of celebration, as a day of Eid. Because it's such a great ayah when you think about it. You know that your religion now is complete. Every Muslim now knows that his religion that he's following is a complete religion. Everything is in there. Umar al-Khattab said, I know when that ayah was revealed. It was revealed on Arafah and it was on Friday. أم الحسين, this is in Muslim, تقول حججت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجة الوداع فرأيته حين رمى جمرة العقبة وانصرف وهو على راحلته ومعه بلال وأسامة أحدهما يقود به راحلته والآخر رافع ثوبه على رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشمس قالت فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قولا كثيرا ثم سمعته يقول إن أمر عليكم عبد مجدع حسبتها قالت أسود يقودكم بكتاب الله تعالى فاسمعوا له وأطيعوا. أم حسين said, I made Hajj with Rasulullah صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. And then I saw him when he threw the stones in جمرة العقبة. And then he came back riding on his camel, and with him was Bilal and Usama. One of them was leading the camel, and the other one was raising his clothes
over the head of Rasulullah ﷺ to provide him with shade from the sun. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said many things, and I remember from the things that he said, if a slave with chopped off limbs is appointed as a leader over you, and he is leading you with the book of Allah, then listen to him and obey. And now he says, وَمِنْ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ مَجْمُوعَ فِيهِ فَهُوَ فِي نِهَايَةِ الْخِسَةِ. He said, whoever has all of these qualities in him, he is at the lowest level. I mean, he's a slave and his limbs are cut. So Rasulullah ﷺ is telling us that even if such a person is appointed over you, as long as he is ruling with the book of Allah, you should listen and obey. فَأَمَرَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِطَاعَةِ وَلِيِّ الْأَمْرِ. And Rasulullah ﷺ ordered to follow the ones who are appointed over us as long as they are doing so with the book of Allah. قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ معناه ما داموا متمسكين بالإسلام والدعاء إلى كتاب الله تعالى على أي حال كانوا في أنفسهم وأديانهم وأخلاقهم. He said the meaning of this is, as long as they are following Islam and they are inviting people to the book of Allah, regardless of what they are applying in their own selves and regardless of how their character is. So the meaning of this is, if the laws are according to the book of Allah and if they are implementing the rule of Allah and inviting others to it, it doesn't matter how their personal character is or what they are doing in their own privacy. That is not something that should concern us as long as they are ruling according to the book of Allah. And then he says, وَلَا يُشَقْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعَصَى. And people should not revolt against such rulers. بَلْ إِذَا ظَهَرَتْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُنْكَرَاتِ وَعِظُوا وَذُكِّرُوا. But if they do something that is wrong, they should be given nasiha. فَإِنْ قِيلَ كَيْفَ يُؤْمَرْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ لِلْعَبْدِ مَعَ أَنَّ شَرْطَ الْخَلِيفَ أَنْ يَكُونَ قُرَشِي. The question arises, how can you follow a slave when we know that the Khalifa should be from Quraysh? The answer is two-sided. One, أَنَّ الْمُرَادْ بَعْضَ الْوُلَاهِ الَّذِينَ يُوَلِّيهُمُ الْخَلِيفَ وَالنُّوَابَةِ. What is meant here is that the Khalifa is the one who appointed this person. So it's not talking about the Khalifa. لا أن يكون الخليفة عبدا. والثاني أن المرادة لو قهر عبد مسلم واستولى بالقهر نفذت أحكامه ووجبت طاعته ولم يجز شق العصا عليه والله أعلم. He said, if a slave takes over a government and that's it, he has set himself, he lodged himself in position of leadership, then his rule applies and it is mandatory to follow him as long as he is ruling according to the book of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered a speech which is known as khutbat al-wada', the speech of farewell. And there are various narrations of this, some in Bukhari, some in Muslim, some in the books of Sirah, some in the other books of Sunan. And I'll go through the one narrated by Imam Ahmad, and we'll read the translation of it, inshallah. And these are final words of advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuhan nas, atadruna fi ayyi shahrin antum, wa fi ayyi yawmin antum, wa fi ayyi baladin antum? Qalu fi yawmin haram, wa shahrin haram, wa baladin haram. Qala fa inna dima'akum, wa amwalakum, wa a'radakum, alaykum haramun, كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا إلى أن تلقوا. ثم قال اسمعوا مني تعيشوا. ألا لا تظلموا، ألا لا تظلموا، ألا لا تظلموا. إنه لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفس منه. ألا إن كل دم ومال ومأثرة كانت في الجاهلية تحت قدمي هذه إلى تحت قدمي هذه إلى يوم القيامة. وإن أول دم يوضع دم ابن ربيعة بن الحارث بن عبد المطلب كان مسترضعا في بني سعد فقتلته هذيل. ألا إن كل ربا في الجاهلية موضوعا وإن الله قضى أن أول ربا يوضع ربا العباس بن عبد المطلب. لكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. ألا وإن الزمان قد استدار كهيئته يوم خلق الله السماوات والأرض. ثم قرأ إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. ألا لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض ألا إن الشيطان قد يأس أن يعبده المصلون ولكن في التحريش بينكم واتقوا الله في النساء فإنهن عندكم عوان لا يملكن لأنفسهن شيئا وإن لهن عليكم حقا ولكم عليهن حق ألا يطئن فرشكم أحدا غيركم ولا يأذن في بيوتكم لأحد تكرهونه فإن خفتم نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن ضربا غير مبرح ولهن رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف وإنما أخذتموهن بأمانة الله واستحللتم فروجهن بكلمة الله ألا ومن كانت عنده أمانة فليؤديها إلى من ائتمنه عليها وبسط يده وقال ألا هل بلغت ألا هل بلغت ثم قال ليبلغ الشاهد الغائب فإنه رب مبلغ أسعد من سامع.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O people, do you know on which day of which month and in which land you are? They replied, on a sacred day of a sacred month in a sacred land. Rasulullah said, your blood, your possessions and your honor are sacred for you as is this your day, in this your month, in this your land, on until you meet him. And then he said, listen to me, you would live. Do not do wrong, do not do wrong, do not do wrong. The property of a Muslim is not permitted to you except by his wish. All blood, money and deeds done in the Jahiliyyah are crushed beneath these feet of mine until judgment day. The first blood that abolished is that of Ibn Rabi'a bin Harith bin Abdul Muttalib. He was fostered among Banu Sa'd and Hudayl killed him. All the usury charges of the Jahiliyyah are abolished. Allah has decreed that the first usury charges to be abolished are those of Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. Your capital is your own. No wrong should be done against you and you should not wrong anyone.
So you can see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is putting all of Jahiliyyah behind. This is a new era and new laws. And the old era is gone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is applying these rules on himself first and his family. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the first thing of the killing of Jahiliyyah is gone and we are going to give up the case of Ibn Rabi'a bin Harith bin Abdul Muttalib, who's the cousin of Rasulullah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, or the son of the cousin of Rasulullah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And this was a case that happened in the time of Jahiliyyah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these draw to wars and tribes fighting each other. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that that blood we are forgiving the ones who killed him for it, to put an end to the feudal system of Arabia. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is banning usury, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the first riba that I am putting under my feet is the riba of Al-Abbas. So Al-Abbas was lending people. And he was charging them interest. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that all what you can get back is your capital.
And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, time has revolved as was its fashion by the day Allah created the heavens and the earth. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayah, the number of the months with Allah is 12 months in Allah's ordinance since the day He created the heavens and the earth. Of these four are sacred. That is the correct reckoning. Therefore do not harm yourselves regarding them. And this is in Surah Tawbah, verse 36. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do not revert after me into unbelievers striking the necks of one another. Satan has despaired that those who pray will worship him. However, he is present in the dissension between yourselves.
And this is why we find a lot of dissension between the Muslims. Shaitan does not care, does not bother about causing dissension among the kuffar, because they are the kuffar and going to hellfire anyway. But he is concerned about the Muslims. Since he cannot make them kuffar, he is making them fight among themselves. He is always instigating this waswasa in the hearts of Muslims and causing fitna among them.
Fear Allah in your relationship with women. They are captives with you. Rasulullah ﷺ here in the last days of his life is giving us a nasiha to care for our women. They are captives with you. They own nothing for themselves. They have rights over you and you have rights over them, that they should not allow anyone other than yourselves to set foot in your furnishings
and that they should not give permission to anyone you dislike to enter your homes. If you fear those of them who are fractious, then admonish them and leave them in the beds and strike them, but not viciously. They have rights to their provisions and their clothing in kindness. It was only by Allah's covenant that you took them, and it is by Allah's word that you are permitted access to them. And whoever has a covenant should discharge it to whomever entrusted it to him. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Hajj, a khutbah that was delivered to thousands of Muslims. And we find in them tawheed, we find in them advice for fiqh. And we also find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving us nasiha to care and have concern for the Muslimat. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Please proceed to the next CD.